Chapter 66. I did, and we came down from Guilford yesterday together. Now, for fear you should be writing to Mr. Knox, and might say anything about us, we have thought it best to let you into the secret. We shall be married from the Crumleys' lodgings, and shall be delighted to see you either before church, or at breakfast time, which you like. It won't be expensive, you know, apostrophe said the collector, highly anxious to prevent any misunderstanding on this point. Just muffins and coffee, with perhaps a shrimp or something of that sort for a relish, you know. Apostrophe, yes, yes, I understand, apostrophe replied Nicholas. Oh, I shall be most happy to come. It will give me the greatest pleasure. Where's the lady stopping with Mrs. Crummles? Apostrophe, apostrophe, why, no, apostrophe said the collector. They couldn't very well dispose of her at night, and so she is staying with an acquaintance of hers, and another young lady. They both belong to the theater. Apostrophe, Miss Snevellicci, I suppose? Apostrophe, apostrophe said Nicholas. Yes, that's the name. Apostrophe, and they'll be bridesmaids, I presume? Apostrophe, apostrophe said Nicholas. Why, apostrophe said the collector, with a rueful face, they will have four bridesmaids. I'm afraid they'll make it rather theatrical. Apostrophe, oh no, not at all, apostrophe replied Nicholas, with an awkward attempt to convert a laugh into a cough. Who may the four be? Miss Snevellicci, of course, Miss Ledrook, apostrophe, the phenomenon, apostrophe groaned the collector. Ha, ha. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Nicholas. I beg your pardon, I don't know what I'm laughing at. Yes, that'll be very pretty, the phenomenon, who else? Apostrophe, apostrophe, some young woman or other, apostrophe replied the collector, rising, some other friend of Henrietta Pettaker's. Well, you'll be careful not to say anything about it, will you? Apostrophe, apostrophe, you may safely depend upon me, apostrophe replied Nicholas. Won't you take anything to eat or drink? Apostrophe, apostrophe, no, apostrophe said the collector, I haven't any appetite. I should think it was a very pleasant life, the married one, eh? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I have not the least doubt of it, apostrophe rejoined Nicholas. Yes, apostrophe said the collector. Certainly. Oh yes. No doubt. Good night. Apostrophe, with these words, Mr. Lillivick, whose manner had exhibited through the whole of this interview a most extraordinary compound of precipitation, hesitation, confidence and doubt, fondness, misgiving, meanness, and self-importance, turned his back upon the room, and left Nicholas to enjoy a laugh by himself, if he felt so disposed. Without stopping to inquire whether the intervening day appeared to Nicholas to consist of the usual number of hours of the ordinary length, it may be remarked that, to the parties more directly interested in the forthcoming ceremony, it passed with great rapidity, insomuch that when Miss Pettaker awoke on the succeeding morning in the chamber of Miss Snevellicci, she declared that nothing should ever persuade her that that really was the day which was to behold a change in her condition. I never will believe it, apostrophe said Miss Pettaker. I cannot really. It's of no use talking, I never can make up my mind to go through with such a trial. Apostrophe, apostrophe, on hearing this, Miss Snevellicci and Miss Ledrook, who knew perfectly well that their fair friend's mind had been made up for 3 or 4 years, at any period of which time she would have cheerfully undergone the desperate trial now approaching, if she could have found any eligible gentleman disposed for the venture, began to preach comfort and firmness, and to say how very proud she ought to feel that it was in her power to confer lasting bliss on a deserving object, and how necessary it was for the happiness of mankind in general that women should possess fortitude and resignation on such occasions, and that although for their parts they held true happiness to consist in a single life, which they would not willingly exchange, no, not for any worldly consideration, still, thank God, if ever the time should come, they hoped they knew their duty too well to repine, but would rather submit with meekness and humility of spirit to a fate for which Providence had clearly designed them with a view to the contentment and reward of their fellow creatures. I might feel it was a great blow, apostrophe said Miss Snevellicci, to break up old associations, and what do you calums of that kind, but I would submit, my dear, I would indeed. Apostrophe, so would I, apostrophe said Miss Ledrook, I would rather court the yoke than shun it. I have broken hearts before now, and I'm very sorry for it. For it's a terrible thing to reflect upon. Apostrophe, it is indeed, apostrophe said Miss Snevellicci. Now Led, my dear, we must positively get ready, or we shall be too late, we shall indeed. Apostrophe, this pious reasoning, and perhaps the fear of being too late, supported the bride through the ceremony of robing, after which, strong tea and brandy were administered in alternate doses as a means of strengthening her feeble limbs and causing her to walk steadier. How do you feel now, my love? Apostrophe, apostrophe, inquired Miss Snevellicci. Oh, Lilivic! Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried the bride. If you knew what I am undergoing for you. Apostrophe, apostrophe, of course he knows it, love, and will never forget it, apostrophe said Miss Ledrook. Do you think he won't? Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Miss Pettaker, really showing great capability for the stage. Oh, do you think he won't? Do you think Lilivic will always remember it always, always, always? Apostrophe, apostrophe, there is no knowing in what this burst of feeling might have ended, if Miss Snevellicci had not at that moment proclaimed the arrival of the fly, which so astounded the bride, that she shook off divers alarming symptoms which were coming on very strong, and running to the glass adjusted her dress, and calmly declared that she was ready for the sacrifice. She was accordingly supported into the coach, and there kept up, as Miss Snevellicci said, with perpetual sniffs of sal volatile, and sips of brandy and other gentle stimulants, until they reached the manager's door, which was already opened by the two master Crumleases, who wore white cockades, and were decorated with the choicest and most resplendent waistcoats in the theatrical wardrobe. By the combined exertions of these young gentlemen and the bridesmaids, assisted by the coachman, Miss Pettaker was at length supported in a condition of much exhaustion to the first floor, where she no sooner encountered the youthful bridegroom than she fainted with great decorum. Henrietta Pettaker, apostrophe, apostrophe, said the collector, cheer up, my lovely one. Apostrophe, Miss Pettaker grasped the collector's hand, but emotion choked her utterance. Is the sight of me so dreadful, Henrietta Pettaker? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said the collector. Oh no, 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 apostrophe, rejoined the bride. But all the friends, the darling friends of my youthful days, to leave them all, it is such a shock. Apostrophe, apostrophe, with such expressions of sorrow, Miss Pettaker went on to enumerate the dear friends of her youthful days one by one, and to call upon such of them as were present to come and embrace her. This done, she remembered that Mrs. Crummles had been more than a mother to her, and after that Mr. Crummles had been more than a father to her, and after that the Master Crumleases and Miss Nanetta Crummles had been more than brothers and sisters to her. These various remembrances being each accompanied with a series of hugs, occupied a long time, and they were obliged to drive to church very fast, for fear they should be too late. The procession consisted of two flies, in the first of which were Miss Bravassa, the fourth bridesmaid, Mrs. Crummles, the collector, and Mr. Fowler, who had been chosen as his second on the occasion. And the other were the bride, Mr. Crummles, Miss Snevellicci, Miss Ledrook, and the phenomenon. The costumes were beautiful. The bridesmaids were quite covered with artificial flowers, and the phenomenon, in particular, was rendered almost invisible by the portable arbor in which he was enshrined. Miss Ledrook, who was of a romantic turn, wore in her breast the miniature of some field officer unknown, which she had purchased, a great bargain, not very long before, The other ladies displayed several dazzling articles of imitative jewelry, almost equal to real, and Mrs. Crummles came out in a stern and gloomy majesty, which attracted the admiration of all beholders. But, perhaps the appearance of Mr. Crummles was more striking and appropriate than that of any member of the party. This gentleman, who personated the bride's father, had, in pursuance of a happy and original conception, made up for the part by arraying himself in a theatrical wig of a style and pattern commonly known as a Brown George, and moreover assuming a snuff-colored suit of the previous century, with gray silk stockings and buckles to his shoes. The better to support his assumed character, he had determined to be greatly overcome, and, consequently, when they entered the church, the sobs of the affectionate parent were so heartrending that the pew opener suggested the propriety of his retiring to the vestry and comforting himself with a glass of water before the ceremony began. The procession up the aisle was beautiful. The bride, with the four bridesmaids, forming a group previously arranged and rehearsed. The collector, followed by his second, imitating his walk and gestures to the indescribable amusement of some theatrical friends in the gallery, Mr. Crummles, with an infirm and feeble gait, Mrs. Crummles advancing with that stage walk, which consists of a stride and a stop alternately. It was the completest thing ever witnessed. The ceremony was very quickly disposed of, and all parties present having signed the register for which purpose, when it came to his turn, Mr. Crummles carefully wiped and put on an immense pair of spectacles. They went back to breakfast in high spirits, and here they found Nicholas awaiting their arrival. "Now then," said Crummles, who had been assisting Mrs. Crutton in the preparations, which were on a more extensive scale than was quite agreeable to the collector. "Breakfast, breakfast." No second invitation was required. The company crowded and squeezed themselves at the table as well as they could, and fell to immediately. Miss Pettiker blushing very much when anybody was looking, and eating very much when anybody was not looking, and Mr. Lillivick going to work, as though with the cool resolve that since the good things must be paid for by him, he would leave as little as possible for the Crumleses to eat up afterwards. "It's very soon done, sir, isn't it?" inquired Mr. Fowler of the collector, leaning over the table to address him. "What is soon done, sir?" returned Mr. Lillivick. "The tying up, the fixing oneself with a wife," replied Mr. Fowler. "It don't take long, does it?" "No, sir," replied Mr. Lillivick, coloring. "It does not take long." "And what then, sir?" "Oh, nothing," said the actor. "It don't take a man long to hang himself either, eh? Ha, ha." Mr. Lillivick laid down his knife and fork, and looked round the table with indignant astonishment. "To hang himself?" repeated Mr. Lillivick. A profound silence came upon all, for Mr. Lillivick was dignified beyond expression. "To hang himself?" cried Mr. Lillivick again. "Is any parallel attempted to be drawn in this company between matrimony and hanging?" "The noose, you know," said Mr. Fowler, a little crestfallen. "The noose, sir?" retorted Mr. Lillivick. "Does any man dare to speak to me of a noose?" "And Henrietta P. Lillivick," suggested Mr. Crummles. "And Henrietta Lillivick in the same breath?" said the collector. "In this house, in the presence of Mr. and Mrs. Crummles, who have brought up a talented and virtuous family, to be blessings and phenomenons, and what not, are we to hear talk of nooses?" "Fowler," said Mr. Crummles, deeming it a matter of decency to be affected by this allusion to himself and partner, "I'm astonished at you. What are you going on in this way at me for?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, urged the unfortunate actor. What have I done? Apostrophe, done, sir. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Mr. Lillivick, aimed a blow at the whole framework of society, apostrophe, and the best and tenderest feelings, apostrophe, added Crummles, relapsing into the old man, and the highest and most estimable of social ties, apostrophe, said the collector, noose, as if one was caught, trapped into the married state, pinned by the leg, instead of going into it of one's own accord and glorying in the act. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I didn't mean to make it out that you were caught and trapped and pinned by the leg, apostrophe, replied the actor. I'm sorry for it. I can't say any more. Apostrophe, so you ought to be, sir, apostrophe, returned Mr. Lillivick. And I am glad to hear that you have enough of feeling left to be so. Apostrophe, the quarrel appearing to terminate with this reply, Mrs. Lillivick considered that the fittest occasion the attention of the company being no longer distracted to burst into tears and require the assistance of all four bridesmaids, which was immediately rendered, though not without some confusion, for the room being small and the tablecloth long, a whole detachment of plates were swept off the board at the very first move. Regardless of this circumstance, however, Mrs. Lillivick refused to be comforted until the belligerents had passed their words that the dispute should be carried no further, which, after a sufficient show of reluctance, they did, and from that time Mr. Fowler sat in moody silence, contenting himself with pinching Nicholas's leg when anything was said, and so expressing his contempt both for the speaker and the sentiments to which he gave utterance. There were a great number of speeches made, some by Nicholas, and some by Crummles, and some by the collector, two by the Master Crumleses in returning thanks for themselves, and one by the phenomenon on behalf of the bridesmaids, at which Mrs. Crummles shed tears. There was some singing too, from Miss Ledrick and Miss Bravassa, and very likely there might have been more, if the fly driver, who stopped to drive the happy pair to the spot where they proposed to take steamboat to ride, had not sent in a peremptory message intimating that if they didn't come directly he should. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.